Welcome to the Shutdown Fullcast. It's the internet's only college football podcast, but this being March 5th when we're recording, probably March 6th when you're listening to it, there's not a whole lot of meat on this particular bone, okay? Thus we've gone vegetarian. Diversifying the platform, diversifying the palate in order to get a rich mix of possible topics in here. To do that, as always, we have Jason Kirk. Hi, Jason.
Hey, what's going on?
Yeah, how's beautiful?
Did you say we got more vegetarian?
Yeah, we're just working in all kinds of vegetables. That's actually not true.
Yeah, I eat cookout for lunch, so that's not true.
Yeah, no, that's definitely not true. I think cookout's a good transition here, by the way, to introduce it. We don't have Ryan this week. Ryan is on vacation and is ferrying his family around the country so that people can bask in the glory of his brood, his glorious brood, which is, can you have one kid in a brood, or is that like a thing?
I feel like you got to get it to a level, right?
Mm-hmm. That voice you're hearing is Bomani Jones, who's replacing Ryan this week and this week only, right? But you have a lot to live up to because none of us on this broadcast have worn the Bloomin' Onion mascot costume on national television. So step
Ooh.
Up.
I got to try.
The question that I wanted to start with is Jason had cookout, which for those of us who are not, if you're not familiar, by the way, cookout is maybe the most calories you can purchase per dollar at any restaurant in America. Is that a fair statement for somebody who's a trained economist would know about these things?
Well, yeah, because you can get two sides on your combo.
Mm-hmm.
And one of those sides can be a corn dog.
Yeah, one of those sides. You can get a little sort of smattering of chicken nuggets.
Yes, that's what I go with. Chicken nuggets and hush puppies, because there is no healthier food in the world than the hush puppy.
The hush puppy, which contains flour and onion and flour and some fat. There's some fat in there. I think there's some shortening. If you don't know, the combo, by the way, the official sides, and this is the part that usually blows people's minds, is this. That, yeah, you can get, like the cookout tray, your choices. You got hamburgers. You got chicken sandwiches. You have the big double burger, which has a trademark, evidently. You can get a quesadilla, chicken or beef, or you can get the chicken strips. That's all fairly standard issue. The two hot dogs is the one that I think is, like, pushing the limit of logic already as a main choice. We also have the two sides, though. The sides are where things get, like, the sides, I think, are what really blow people's minds.
Have we discussed the most efficient order? Because I think I've discovered it.
Do
the
tell.
Tray with, you get the big double burger, because, mm-hmm. I mean, you could get the little single burger, or you get the big double burger, and you can get that with the chili and all that on it, but that's pushing it. And then for the sides, you go the quesadilla, because it takes up very little space in the tray. Mm-hmm. It's like a sheet on the bottom, and then you get the fries, because they're going to fit more of those in there. If you get onion rings, you can get like three. But if you go with that, that's like half your day's food for $5.
Yeah, that's the thing, man. You can get all your cholesterol right fast, right cheap.
Daily,
and see, the thing about it in North Carolina, I don't know how this is everywhere else, but the thing in North Carolina about cookout is it's never really close to anything and barely on the way to anything. Like, you kind of have to make a trip to cookout. You're not just going to run into cookout. So it would be a special occasion, me and the homies sitting around the crib, you know, listening to music. And if somebody, we get the bright idea, let's go to cookout. And it always sounded like the greatest idea ever. And then we go to cookout.
Well, especially because I think there's sort of a weakness that creeps into the body under the influence of any substance. And now I include substances, by the way, things you can buy, fatigue, right? Bad day.
Yeah.
A bad day is basically like a terrible drug. Those, if you're under the influence of all those and somebody says cookout, there's no option. You're going.
Yeah, yeah. It is for, you know, I think I quit drinking before I hit my full cookout stride. But it is the hangover soaker-upper from what I can tell.
Now, they do not have these in any state I know that has legalized medical marijuana. Those are the only states, or legal recreational marijuana. Those are the only states, of course, where this would apply, and the only states in which I would apply this, because I would never break the law. However, it's waiting right there, man. Cookout for the Colorado, for the Mountain West, for Nevada.
Yeah, they got to get there, right?
Oh, they have to. Vegas alone. Like a cookout on the strip just makes too much sense.
Well, do they have the brand equity to stretch it out like that?
I think in a place like Vegas where everybody's a transplant or a tourist, yes. Colorado is going to be a little more difficult.
But is it enough of us going to Las Vegas in order to make that happen, to see that cookout? So cookout just got to Atlanta. Like, I feel like cookout just a Carolina sort of situation.
Mm. Oh, no. No, no. I will regale you with this. Jason, the first cookout in Atlanta, I believe, opened where?
It was on Moreland, right?
Correct. It's basically at the intersection of Moreland and 20. All right? I went there day one. And when I got there, the parking lot, you could have, I've never seen a parking lot that only had 30 spaces with that many cars in it in my life. And half of them had East Carolina stickers on them.
A symbol.
No, they did.
Let me tell you something, by the way, when the East Carolina stickers roll up like that, you need to ask some real questions about what you're doing there and how long you want to stay.
They ain't there to play basketball.
No, 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 no. When you see the East Carolina stickers, that's the thing. You know, if a bunch of UNC people, you're like, it's a pretty chill crowd. I don't think anything's like weird or anything. Like, nobody's just going to start a party in the parking lot. It's NC State, push it a little bit to the East Carolina people. I was like,
if it's ECU and App State, then you might want to be near an exit.
Interesting, yeah, because App State. I've never been able to fully like wrap my mind around what I think App State had going on, because they are in fact the Mountaineers, but it is still Western North Carolina, which has its own breezy sort of aesthetic, shall we say? You know,
yeah. More agility. Have you been to Boone recently?
Nah.
Okay. Boone is still sort of like a distal ski town. It's the kind of place where there are a couple of houses that are built like geodesic domes. And they've been known to sell their contraband and package it in a mason jar. And I,
Yeah.
I mean, Boone's changed a little bit, but it hasn't. Boone's still very much that kind of place. So I think if you had a combination App State ECU party, then the authorities will get there around 2:30 a.m., maybe 3. You don't want to be there when that happens, but if you can somehow hit the like horizon, the event horizon of the party coming to pieces, I think you'd be okay. You could just avoid that.
But boom. Yeah. All the North Carolina that's not cities, it has its own tale.
That and if you know North Carolina well, you go, oh, well, if there's one part of North Carolina where you want to know someone where they're from but might not want to go there, Kinston, North Carolina. We've discussed this before, but it's the home of gladiators.
Yeah. You don't want any Kinston problems.
No, no, no. You want friends in Kinston, like 100%. This goes back to a conversation we've had before, which I would love to do for the SEC. You just name like the hardest town, like the town that where you want friends because you definitely don't want enemies. If I had to do that sort of in the South, I know North Carolina's answer is Kinston, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Kinston is number one. Kinston, like for Texas people, Port Arthur would be akin to that one. Chester, Pennsylvania for your boys from up north. Like, I could go through most of the state and give you one where it's been like, no, this is a place where you do not want the problems. Kinston's the home of Jerry Stackhouse and others. And one of my homeboys used to deal with a girl from Kinston in college, and he said he was laid up with her. And then she mentioned something about her ex-boyfriend and how her ex-boyfriend still had a key to her place. And he was from Kinston, the ex-boyfriend, and he just flew out of bed.
just did the full smoke bomb, right?
Yeah. She's yes. Like, shoes still floating in the air behind the smoke.
Yes.
Jason, what is that for Georgia? Like if we're rolling through SEC territory.
Agreed, it's Augusta, right? Because even Pastor Troy don't go there anymore.
Yeah, Augusta, you don't really want much to do with Augusta. I got robbed in Savannah once, picturesque though it might be. Macon, MacTown.
Yeah. I sort of think it's probably like some places right outside of Macon I don't know about, right? Like.
Yeah, they're all the same to me. All the stuff. Now, see, the problem I got there is there's a whole lot of towns in Georgia that I don't want no problems, but they don't have the demographic makeup as towns like Kinston, a lot of these others that we bring up. Like, you might be cool. I might not.
Yeah, it depends. Like I know, like Louisiana, I just kind of blanket the whole state. You're just like, no, don't. You're all friends. I love all
Yeah,
of you.
in all these other places, we're talking about the smaller towns. In Louisiana, there's number one. Number one is numbers 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5. It is the town we've all heard of.
The meanest people on earth. The meanest
Oh,
people.
no, that's Shreveport in terms of my you don't want those problems. I'm talking about the other you don't want no problems. New Orleans, Louisiana is at the top of the American power rankings.
Oh, yeah. No, I don't have any enemies. Everyone in New Orleans is a friend. Every single
And
person.
just so you know, like maybe some of these garden district types is a little different life or whatever, but anybody that's lived a touch in New Orleans, you don't want no problem with them.
Yeah, that's like Marshall. Like Marshall Faulk is from New Orleans, right? And occasionally Marshall Faulk, they would show him like on the sidelines, and he's cheerful, he's laughing. And I remember that at one point the Rams secondary, and I think 2000 was the year that they had no defense to speak of whatsoever. It's either that or 2001.
It was 2000.
Yeah, so at one point, cheerful Marshall Faulk, who grew up in a real bad neighborhood in New Orleans.
The Desire Projects, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes, he was on the sidelines imploring, saying, "Please let me go play corner." Like literally, like put me in a corner. I'll do better than these guys.
That's a
And
New Orleans attitude right there.
it was a
Allow me the privilege to hit people.
yeah, and also I can do that job that you are doing better in 5 minutes than you can do it your entire life, and maybe being right. Like there's an outside shot that Marshall Faulk could have been a better corner than whatever pitiful trash the Rams were rolling out that day. But the look on his face, it got scary fast. Like super scary fast. Like, oh, nice Marshall Faulk. Like photogenic. Hey, oh God. Oh God, he means this. He's gonna kill this man on the sidelines. So yeah.
Right.
It might be that. I always gauge it on like who I don't want to mess with. I looked up the Hester family. It's like giant family of like strapping, bald Cajuns who can all deadlift a car. Yeah, guess where they're from, Bo?
Shreveport. Oh, they have Shreveport. I know they have Shreveport.
Evangel, baby.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, Evangel. Yeah. That's always the interesting thing there with Evangel. I've never looked how do the wide receivers look at Evangel? Because I can't tell if it's like, I always pictured in my mind that Evangel was kind of like Odessa Permian in their glory day in terms of demographics. But I imagine Evangel want to win that football too bad that I've got here rolling the dice, unless, you know, they need to make sure whoever it is the best.
Yeah, I imagine they're just all Jacob Hester in my head. They're just all different Hesters, right?
But isn't Evangel the passing school, right? That's where you go to get your
They
quarterback,
do.
right?
That's where the Booties, I believe, had
Quarterback in
a
Louisiana,
Rob Berlin, isn't that where you go?
Yeah, that is correct. Brock Berlin, who I will let it known when people go, ha ha ha, I bet this guy won't do well on the Wunderlic. Go look up Brock Berlin's Wunderlic. Oh, he did go to Florida, full disclosure. Just gonna throw that out there.
I love being around people who know who I'm talking about if I mention Brock Berlin, who, little did I know, threw for 159 yards in the NFL. Who allowed that to happen?
I don't know, man. Doug Johnson played for the Falcons. Something like, speaking of long gone
Oh,
Florida
that's right.
quarterbacks of dubious value.
We don't need to talk. We don't need to talk about that.
No.
Yeah. But let me tell you a dubious list, which is whenever a program tells you all the quarterbacks they put in the NFL, what exactly does that mean?
Got him in the door, baby. The Jimbo Fisher test. That's all you need. What
Though to be fair,
happens?
Jimbo Fisher gets him in the door with a fat load of change in their pocket. I'm talking about like Georgia getting DJ Shockley and Aaron Murray in there and talking about we got NFL quarterbacks.
Technically true.
Technically, yes.
Technically true. Like that's what they'll say because they'll go, "Okay, you want to joke with us about this? What about Auburn? What about Auburn?"
Ooh, interesting question there.
Is Ben Leard pulling down an NFL paycheck at any point?
Shout out to Reggie Slack, who never got the chance to do what he should do.
I was thinking about Jason Campbell this morning. Felt like that dude's career was cut short a couple years too early.
I give him credit though; he cut it himself.
No, I mean, and wisely so, right? Like everybody making fun. I did like when he was on the Redskins, right? They'd make fun of him for wearing white shoes, which I've always said is the most universal country thing possible. It transcends race, creed, color, sexual preference, and identity, whatever. If you buy big old white shoes when you get money, that means you're country, right?
Yes.
And they would make fun of him for that. and the fact that because he was country as hell, he couldn't say the word falcon. Like for some reason, Jason Campbell could not, and that was like a formation name, right? So he'd call it out, and it was like falcon, like he'd just swallow it. He couldn't; it didn't come out of his mouth right.
Yes, I can see that.
But if I was looking there and I was going, because I was born in Tennessee, and I was trying to think of like the hardest place in Tennessee, and I suddenly realized that that this is actually a real race, like, because I think my initial thing would be like, man, you don't want to make an enemy in Memphis. Then I was like,
yeah, that's what I'm about to say. Number one seems like a strong one.
Seems like in Tennessee you got to go with the two extreme wings. Like somewhere in the mountains and then somewhere around Memphis.
Yeah, no, Tennessee's like a video game, man, right? Like, they design it, be like, well, there's a mountain over here, and then there's a city over here, and you got to have a level that's kind of hilly in between. I don't think you want any part of, like, if you said you were from, like, the Tri-Cities area, and you know, you're like, yeah, man, he just goes out in the woods for a couple of days at a time. Yeah, I don't want to mess with that dude at all. Like, there was a survival contest in, I believe, Canada, like Canadian Rockies, right? And consistently the people who place there are people who grew up either in like that Tri-Cities area, you know, like up around Brushy Mountain, right? Where James Earl Ray gave up rather than continue to try to escape, right? They're either from there or they're from like Dahlonega, like anywhere where there's just impenetrable mountain hell. They're like, yeah, man, this is fine. Canadian Rockies ain't shit.
Now, where are these three cities that are the Tennessee Tri-Cities? Because everybody's got a Tri-Cities. Like, Atlanta has a Tri-Cities, but I feel like it's like a city and a couple of partners.
Yeah, so this is way up in the corner. This is like serious NASCAR territory, right? This is Johnson City is one of them. So we're talking like, if I was to put them anywhere, that would be Spurrier country, right? We're talking Johnson City. We're talking Bristol and Kingsport. So if you tell me you're from Kingsport, I don't question your shit kicker credentials, right? Like, if you tell me you're from Orange Mound, Memphis, I'm like, yep. No, you got this. Orange Mound, Tennessee, you're good. Totally there.
Yeah, I'm trying to think. Like, this is, by the way, just typically one of my favorite conversations. Youngstown, Ohio. Can we get out the South and go up there?
Oh, yeah, no. Youngstown, Ohio is officially part of the South.
I feel like it's part of the Bronx.
Yeah, that too. You can link them up. It can go wherever it wants. How's this? It can go wherever it wants to go, because that's where like the Pelinis are from. And the Pelinis are basically like gentle compared to the rest of the populace there. So, yeah, sure.
Well, I actually think it's a great statement on college coaches, the idea that is like the cradle of coaches.
Yeah.
And those are the people. And it makes me look at Bob Stoops completely differently. Jim Tressel is not from Youngstown, but is of Youngstown, and we know how he gets down.
He's going to fix that. I always thought that, like, Jim Tressel was an honorary Cajun, right? He's like, oh, no, I know somebody. I'm gonna get
He's a university president. Can we talk about that? He is a university president. Like, you realize what gangster hustle you have to pull that off in the way that he pulled it off?
Mm-hmm. Like, we got a couple of operators, right? Like, old school dudes are definitely like him. Fulmer pulled, we haven't discussed this in any format, right? That Fulmer pulled the longest play Lannister style revenge imaginable by waiting a decade to get his.
Yes.
Easily. Just sat there, man. Just waiting. Like a dormant toad beneath the sands. Waiting for the right weather.
Now, doesn't he like Lane?
I think he likes Lane. I think he's okay with Lane. I just think he was waiting for the weak moment. And let us remember what that weak moment was. Jason, what was the thing that finally signaled that things had gone too far in the Tennessee coaching search?
Oh, was it somebody tried to hire Greg Schiano or somebody tried to hire Mike Leach?
Leach!
Leach was the last one.
Well, they didn't try to hire him. They hired him and then told him no.
They had signatures from both those dudes. And Leach was the last straw.
The second one. Leach. That's the one where they're like, now you've completely lost your mind.
Although I feel like if Leach had showed up at Tennessee, that with Leach with that offense, It would have been like he showed up with the first iPhone. Right? Or they're looking at it. They're like, wait a minute. So for all the time. Really? And you throw screens? Wow.
You throw multiple screens?
Yeah, like, but no handoffs. Just, okay, got you, got you.
Goodness.
There was somebody put up a stat, like the quarterbacks coming in the NFL this year, their percentage of dropbacks versus shotgun, you know, and it was all about what you'd expect. And then right there at the bottom, Luke Falk, dropback, 0%. Washington State had zero.
That's right. I did
zero
see that.
Dropbacks all year.
I did see that as we continue to operate on this premise that you got to be a dropback passer to play in the NFL, even though one-legged Peyton Manning was out there making it happen.
Mm-hmm.
That Peyton standing around with his head about to fall off, winning a Super Bowl.
If you go back and look at the injuries that Washington State quarterbacks have suffered, it's like upright, 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 lacerated kidney.
Oh, we'll send another one in there. We got more of them.
That's what happens. That's what happens when running isn't an option, and your like release is quick. It means like cool, 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 cool. You won the lottery. Your liver's cut in half.
By the way, can we talk about a fascinating thing about Mike Leach at Washington State that I don't think is discussed enough, because they were so bad before he got there. Mm-hmm. And so he's come and done a typical Leachian job of doing well in this place where it's very hard to win, except for the fact that Wazoo fans can really look up and be like, yo, we'd like to get back to the Rose Bowl. You know, we had a guy that got us to Rose Bowls. And they did. And then he went to Alabama and never to really be seen again.
Yeah, I don't think people know exactly, one, how brilliant Mike Price was, and two, how different a universe and how loose he was running it in Pullman. And I mean football-wise, people. the rest I don't know about, but I suspect.
Trying not to get sued, I see.
Trying.
Well, let's think about this. Mike Leach went to not one, but two Rose Bowls at Wazoo, and almost won that one that they played against Michigan, right? Like, that came down to the last drive.
Mm-hmm. It was bullshit in Michigan's favor.
Yeah. Right. Two Rose Bowls at Wazoo, and then the thing happened at Alabama, but he won the lawsuit.
Mm-hmm.
Right. People forget that. He sued Sports Illustrated, and he won.
Yeah.
And yo, UTEP it is, buddy. UTEP it is.
Yeah, let me and look at it this way. I want you to think about this. Take football out of the equation. Mike Price was out in the hinterlands of Washington running a successful operation where he was bringing in, you know, a million or so a year, right? I like to think of him as like, let's just blanket him. Let's say like, okay, he was engaged in a trade involving unpaid labor. And he was clearing about a mill a year, right? So yes. He goes to Alabama. Definitely not a sketchy sounding state, right? Clears an even bigger job. And then gets involved in some sort of legal struggle where he comes out on top, gets about, what, 24 mil out of the whole thing? And then where does he go? He takes his ill-gotten riches to the desert, to the Mexican border. And I'm like, if you took football out of the equation, Mike Price sounds like the world's most untouchable drug kingpin.
Yes, yes. And he went to America's surprisingly large city.
Yeah, I mean, that's El Paso, America's most surprisingly large city.
Do you know how many people El Paso has?
Were they up to a million and a half or two?
I don't think they're up that high, but I think the last time I checked, they're around like 800,000. Like, it's a top 20 city within the city limits. Now, God knows how far the city limits stretch, right?
They drop right off.
One of those places. But yeah, El Paso is, looking at it now, 2010 census, 649,000 people. The CSA is over 1 million. But if you ask somebody how many people El Paso had, they wouldn't tell you it had no damn 700,000 people.
Yeah, but there's like a house in El Paso that looks out on nothing, right? Like, it's like neighborhood, 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 waste. Just
yeah, like actually, because I've driven through El Paso on I-10, and I don't know what happens when you go up and down, because there's not a lot of El Paso to see off of I-10. Like, are they hiding the rest of the El Paso to keep the way beautiful?
Yes, they are. It's got some rough looking parts.
Is it like a gravity kind of thing? Like asteroids collecting in space into like a moon? Like, there's just nothing there, so everything just sort of runs toward El Paso, and then it ends up being bigger than it should?
Probably. I would tell you this, by the way. El Paso, random fact, Texas Monthly did a like, best of Texas, right? which is really cool. It was like everybody talking about their favorite places in the state and, you know, how they were specifically Texan, right? And like one kind of rich artist was like, oh, well, the old cattle pool that used to be where the bulls drank that I now use as a hot tub out in my Marfa farm, right? Like, okay, cool. You know, somebody'd be like, Erykah Badu's place was like, oh, you know, it's my grandma's porch in Dallas, right? Which looks out on an interstate, but that's like super Texas too, right? And that was her favorite place. You know what Billy Gibbons of ZZ Top's favorite place in Texas was, where he was like, yeah, man, this means Texas to me. It was a car wash and taco place in El Paso. Mm-hmm. And when they asked him why, he's like, hey, man, it's cool. You can go out and get your car wash and get some tacos.
Was it now? Is there also the gun range? Is that the one?
No. This one didn't even have like the eccentric touch of the gun range. Nope. This is just tacos and a car wash. And I looked it up, and you know what you can buy there? It's one of like five or six officially licensed places where you can buy UTEP tickets in person.
Wow. That, by the way, reminds me of the most Greensboro place in Greensboro, North Carolina, which is a car wash with strippers.
Are they in the car wash itself?
So I've never been sure because I never got around to going to the car wash. I think that ladies wash your car, and while your car is being washed, you can go in and get a dance, which makes this the rare time that you are upset that the line at the car wash is short.
That's Greensboro as hell. Damn. That's amazing. I guess the last question, since this has been a real organized discussion, so thank you for joining us for it, Bo.
Oh, yeah.
Is, you know, you're from a couple of places, but you claim Texas, mm-hmm. correct? This is why you're a Longhorn fan.
Yes, right? I am.
And thus far, if we were to ask, I mean, I know the answer, but I'm asking. If we were to ask the estimate of Tom Herman's tenure thus far, in your opinion, one scanty year into it, how are we feeling?
I feel like he won 6 games with a 9-win roster. That's what I feel like. Or was it 7 wins? Did we get to 7 by the bowl? Are we gonna call it 7 because of that? I feel like he got 7 wins with a 9 or 10 win roster. That's what I feel about it. Now, I will say this though. It is encouraging to go on the rivals list these days and put up the top 20 in Texas and see Texas, 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 Texas over again. It seems for whatever reason the high school coaches in the state are being a little nicer to the current regime than perhaps they had been to the previous regime when the SEC West came and took over the state. I am expecting a great deal from this gentleman this year. I am expecting a whole lot from this gentleman this year. I don't even know if they have the talent to justify my expectations of a whole lot this year. But look at what's leaving, right? Because when Charlie got that job, and there was talent there, but there was no talent left after that talent went. Like Malcolm Brown was still there. Once they Quandre Diggs was still there. Like there's a few names that I can rattle off. Dudes who were still there. Okay, cool. Look, man, Malik is gone. Holton Hill is gone. Deshaun Elliott is gone. Connor Williams is gone. Chris Warren was going to be gone, but anyway, he's gone now. Hey, man, those dudes, with the exception of Warren, are going to make a lot of money. A lot of money. What the hell Herman going to do to replace that?
He's going to go to high schools and be like, hey, you see these guys? They're all making a lot of money.
Oh, yeah, I forgot. And Puna's gone, too. Our little impish defensive tackle.
He's
gone now, too.
Like he's the best because he was like the littlest giant. I love dudes like that, right? Like a 5'11 center. Love 5'11 centers.
But the weird thing about him is he is actually not the first sub-6-foot defensive tackle to play at Texas in the last 10 or 15 years.
Who else do you have?
From South Carolina. The other guy was from South Carolina, too. This dude named Ben Alexander. I'm pretty sure he was also from South Carolina. I have no memory of him actually playing. But apparently, Texas tapped into their pipeline of impish defensive tackles.
which is, by the way, like that's a really peculiar thing for any state built on obesity, quite like Texas is, right? To ever pull is to be like, yeah, I don't know, we got a defensive tackle. He's under 6 feet tall.
Yes. Let me tell you, that means you don't want no problems with Puna. No problems whatsoever. Yeah, I'm looking at it right here. Ben Alexander. They list him at 6 foot, 305 pounds from Anderson, South Carolina.
Yeah,
but the Texas part of it is like the added BMI. Like you lose 3 inches, but you're still 300 pounds.
Yeah, I also feel like right now I need to pull up who else offered him, right? Because when Mac Brown showed up and said, son, I'm going to offer you a scholarship, he had to be like, at what? Right? Like, what do you mean you're offering me a scholarship? What do you, yeah, he was listed at 5'11", 285 coming out of high school. And the good folks at Rivals say that the other people who offered him scholarships were, wow, Florida State, Georgia, Notre Dame, and Ohio State.
Okay. Okay. That's fine. That means you really don't want problems with it. Like, not one. Oh.
No, man, that low center of gravity thing, man, you don't. Nah, you don't need it. And Virginia Tech gave him an offer too. What is he? Did he, like, we need to find his film.
No, I bet it's nasty. I bet he looks like a traffic stump.
But at the same time, you notice who I did not say offered him? South Carolina or Clemson.
They weren't playing football yet at the time.
Ah, that is true. Is South Carolina still playing football now?
You know, you
they're playing. I think they've transitioned to rugby.
You wouldn't believe who they've hired.
Oh, I've heard. I've heard. It looks like he's learned some things since he washed out at his last job.
South Carolina's a perfect match for Will Muschamp. Like, there is no more perfect match right now in college football than Will Muschamp for South Carolina. Because the game's going to be some screwed up score that indicates that everything went wrong, like 22-19. South Carolina don't care. They'll show up for that, right?
Well, they'll show up for anything.
Yeah, no, they'll show up for anything. What do they want? Effort. Okay, I will tell you this. You'll get nothing but effort, misapplied effort, sometimes insanely misapplied effort, like hitting people 5 yards out of bounds, okay? But you'll get effort deep into the fourth quarter, right? Even when you don't want it, even when you're like, please, dear God, let this game end. Will Muschamp's like, no, we're losing 35-3, but we're going to play hard whole time. We're going to drag this thing out.
Now, technically, isn't he still the Texas head coach in waiting? I don't believe that was ever officially revoked, so this could be coming back your way, Bo.
There was that. Here's the thing, though. South Carolina, in the most peculiar way, has turned itself into, like, an 8 to 10 year job, right? Like, it became the perfect job for Spurrier to retire to. Lou Holtz retired in that job. And by the way, that's a hell of a back-to-back coaches. Lou Holtz did a great job turning that program around with a little malfeasance, but he did.
you said Lou Holtz. That's redundant.
Yes. Look, Lou Holtz. Here's Lou Holtz. Y'all, I'm sorry. I thought y'all were trying to win. I totally misunderstood what's going on here. Like, when Bob Stoops tried to get the Notre Dame job that year and told them he needed all these JUCO transfers, and they were like, no. And he's like, oh, my bad. I thought y'all were trying to win. Little did I know, you simply wanted to participate.
Let me give you the, by the way, my, I love this, that Lou Holtz at one point, I believe when he was coaching for Arkansas, they'd asked him about his team's performance, and he was like, yeah, I don't know, watching him just makes me want to kill myself. he said that shit in public.
Have you ever heard his quote about West Virginia? He is a native West Virginian?
Yeah.
Best thing to leave West Virginia is the empty bus? Yeah. The other thing with Lou Holtz, you know, now that he's gotten all Make America Great Again, I think this can be easy to forget. But I did an interview with Lou Holtz, I guess it's now 10 years ago, when I worked at the radio station in Raleigh, and I'm recording it. And, you know, there's something about interviewing coaches that, like, takes you back to this. I hate the way we call coaches coach.
Yeah.
You know? But, you know, you get into that place and you feel like you're being respectful. I'm like, hey, coach, this is Bomani Jones. What was your name? Bomani. What was that? Bomani. Say it one more time. Bomani. Man, that light came on for that interview. You thought Lou Holtz had known me since I was 4 years old. Oh, Bomani. And then I stopped and thought about this. Lou Holtz just got through coaching at South Carolina. As far as names go that he wasn't familiar with, Bomani is way low on the list.
Yeah.
Way low. He's like, oh, that's light work.
Well, I mean, you just remember that, like, South Carolina is the one where if you're watching the Key and Peele football player's name sketch, the most outre ones of them, right? Like, the most unconventional or innovative names. You would go, yeah, that's South Carolina, because they really had a player named Captain Munnerlin.
They did.
Like, easily the most South Carolina player. When somebody's like, what do you mean? I'm like, Captain Munnerlin. He's great. He's awesome. His name is Captain.
I want to do a story on all the people with names like Captain and King who turned out not to be good at stuff. Right, because these are names that you by and large hear when you watch football, which means at the very least they was the boss at their little school or whatever. But there's got to be some dude named Captain running like a 4.9 trying to be a receiver.
Oh, there was an entire family. I'm trying to remember. Jason, I Perfect was one of them.
Oh, the Dowlings, Virginia.
Yeah, Raza and them.
Yeah, there's a lot of reaching with those names. Like, you got a lot to live up to if your name is I Perfect.
Well, don't forget about Majestic and Scientific Map.
Oh yeah,
and Mr. Alexander.
Oh yeah, there are some misters.
I feel like Mr.
There.
Alexander is a pretty easy one to live up to because you simply have to, you just have to be formal, right? Like it's literally just like, okay, I'm giving you the most democratic basic title ever, right? Not Duke, not King, not even an Earl.
I don't know. You have to be the kind of person who gets called Mister, though, which, you know, some people just carry themselves as like, hey, buddy, you know.
But also, I went to high school with a Sugar Ray, first name Sugar, middle name Ray.
Yeah, how am I going to live up to that?
I will tell you how he lived up to that, by the way, by being an awesome basketball player. That was how he lived up to it. He was like the high school big man, so like 6'4", 6'5", big man.
Yeah.
That's how he lived up to it, was being a borderline all-state caliber basketball player.
I appreciate it when you cut straight to the chase and you give me a nickname and a name. Just skip it. This was something my parents' generation, right? Like, you know, there's a lot of dudes just named Larry. I have a relative named Larry. Not Lawrence. Larry. You know what it is?
And we're still making those, by the way.
Just Larry's? Like, straight up Larry's?
Yeah. Yeah, we're still making Larry's.
You know a baby named Larry?
I don't know. Okay, to be fair, maybe they stopped, right? But I feel like the new models of Larry's are still, like, the models of Larry we still got out there. Let me tell you something, a dude named Larry strikes me as the type to do. Name a kid after himself. Because why let the mediocrity stop with you?
No, I will tell you this. I know a baby named Frank, which is awesome. Yeah. Like, I'll tell you, like, big chunky 9-month-old named Frank. That's yes. About right, right? 2-year-old is feeling a little weird, but when they're all posted up and look like gangsters anyway, right? Just like big fat mafiosi in diapers. Yeah, Frank is a great call there.
Yeah, I did. I feel like we need more Franks. I got an uncle named Frank. Franklin Delano Jones, because people did that. Did you know that Frank Gore's middle name is also Delano?
Really?
Huh.
Yes, sir.
Wow.
That is old, too.
I mean, listen, Franklin Delano for Frank Gore, that's appropriate given that, like, his knees have had 4 terms in office.
Well played.
Yeah, you know what? We're just going to cut it there. That's fine.
That'll work.
That's perfect. And we're out.